would like to acknowledge Larry Morris, who's helped on this project, Rod Will, who has moved to Oklahoma State, who was instrumental in getting this going, Vic Ford and John Britt, our industry partners have been great, and a whole host of graduate students. So our objectives, clearly we're interested in looking at the effects of tillage, and we're talking about tillage in Piedmont or upland sites. We're not talking about bedding in the flat woods. We obviously know that's necessary. And we had an interest in trying to partition any potential growth response that we might see relative to nutrients and moisture. And really, for today, we want to try and get to this use of 3D soil electrical resistivity profiling to assess changes in soil rooting volume with tillage. And you know, clearly, we do a lot of soil chemical analysis on a mass basis. And so we try and remember sometimes that trees really see a volume. They tend not to see a mass. And we've never been very good at assessing something like rooting volume. We make sort of bad guesses at it. So just briefly, here's the site. We're working in the upper coastal plain of southwest Georgia in Lumpkin, Georgia. This is an Orangeburg series soil. Thankfully, we have very few rocks here. But it's also a candy udall. This was a site that was recently harvested and has been replanted. You can see this is probably not an ideal tillage site. It has a sort of nice loamy cap here that might be 20 to 30 centimeters, but then it has a pretty dense BT horizon, Orangeburg, because it has orangish colors. And then here are our trees. They were planted in 2003. We'll look at 2 and 3-year-old data. The tillage experiment is a randomized complete block. Industry folks are great at doing this. Common garden type experiments. We have 5 treatments here. A non-till control, a culture only, culture plus subsoil, culture plus bed, and culture plus bed and subsoil. And we're going to mainly focus for the 3D stuff on the no-till and the culture bed subsoil, sort of the extreme treatments. Where do these treatments come from? In the southeast, we have a Savannah 3-in-1 plow, it's called, and it basically has 3 components. It has this culture wheel here in front. It's hard to take that off, so that's part of every tillage treatment. There's actually a shank, a subsoiling shank in here. It's probably about 60 centimeters deep. There's a couple of disc harrows to bed, and then this is really just compacting down the bed. So the idea here is we sort of lifted these out of the way, we took the shank off, we ran the culture through the site, we put the shank back on, so we got a culture and a subsoil treatment. Then we took the shank off, used it with just the bed, so a culture bed, and then all 3. Okay, so that's really where our treatments are coming from. From a growth perspective, they're interested in what's the minimum tillage that's required. It's obviously very expensive to be pulling a subsoil shank through upper coastal plain site. Okay, so here's just a visual. Here is a flat planted site. These flags are where trees are. And then here, you know, it looks like we're growing corn here with these nice planting beds. And so this is obviously the CBS treatment. Okay. Let's just talk about soil electrical resistivity for a minute. Basically, we're just applying an electrical current to the ground. In this case, we actually put probes, metal probes, into the ground and run a cable from probe to probe. Okay, so we measure the resulting potentials as we inject this current. And so obviously, those differences, those patterns in the potentials are what we infer as subsurface heterogeneity. And what really drives those heterogeneity? Well, it's resistivity. It's really not any one thing. It's a host of things. Okay, so particle size matters, mineralogy matters, porosity matters, water content matters, and solute concentration matters. It really works out, though, within a given site. You know, you can make assumptions that in the repeated measures, mineralogy is not varying much over time. And really, it works out that water content is often a big driver. If you were to fertilize, clearly that would be important. But in large measure, the moisture that you see in the system is going to drive a lot of your responses. Okay, and I'll try and use that change in moisture to infer something about soil volume. It's been going on for a while. Hard rock folks really use this technology quite a bit, and works out. Archaeologists use it to try and find houses and old walls and things below ground. So here are just some basic principles, just like GPR. If we had a single point source, we injected a current, we would be able to measure some voltage at some distance from that current, so sort of isopotential lines. If it was a homogeneous isotropic surface, which inevitably it won't be, Typically, you can't do this with one point. It works more like a battery. You know, you got an anode and a cathode, so you're injecting current, and then you have someplace where you're reading the voltage that you measure along those equipotential lines. Okay, so it's really just Ohm's law. This is electrical resistivity. Ohm's law is really resistance. Voltage over current is resistance. For resistivity, we really just sort of have to incorporate some type of geometric factor. So if you ever did this in the lab, you'd have plates, you know, plates on each side of a soil sample, and you'd pack it, and it would be this uniform field. But since it's not a uniform field, you try and account for the geometry. And if you move the probes around, that's how you actually get readings. And so, you know, I might go out into the field and stick all these probes in the ground and run a wire to them. And then we might actually move which are injecting the current and which are reading the current, and maybe separate those. So here, if we had these probes injecting and these readings, we would get a point here, and then we would simply move. And we don't really have to do this anymore. The old days, you used to physically have to do this, but now it has a switching box. You just put your probes in, you set up your cable, and you walk away for an hour, and it just moves the probes, and it gets you the whole profile. Okay, and so this is what it looks like in the box. Here's the meter, here's the switching box, and here's a lot of cable, and here's a little probe in the ground, and you basically have a contact between that probe and that cable. Okay, so we measured the N and the CBS, and we did this over 5 dates over the year, and I'll show you this grid a little bit later, but we used a 2x8 meter grid, and it measures to about a 2 meter depth, and we did use TDR, really only in the upper surface 30 centimeters, to try and develop some correlations between moisture content and resistivity. Okay, so I just want to show you some quick results. Don't want to focus on this, but here's a 3-year result, so year 1, year 2, year 3 for the tillage treatments. Oddly enough, here's the control in the middle. So our Coulter wheel with the Coulter and the subsoil only, in fact, seemed to decrease growth at this site. And really have no wonderful explanation for that. We can speculate that it compacted the clay later, the Coulter wheel just was dragged along. But I'm not going to try and explain that today. We do see a positive effect of bedding, and really here's our CBS treatment and our NT treatment. So a little bit of a growth response, not a huge response. If you were to ask me about tillage in the Piedmont and upland, I would tell you I think we see this a lot, a small, probably not cost-effective response. Larry Morris might differ on that. Okay, do nutrients matter? So here's soil N is extractable ammonia and nitrate across our treatments. You know, we got a little bump up from bedding and mixing organic matter in there. So maybe it helped drive some of the growth differences. I would encourage you to note that that doesn't really work out for the Coulter and RIP. They're higher than the NT. So clearly nutrients aren't really the whole story. And these are pretty small numbers, and really only through year 1 were we able to see any signal at all. Here's some TDR data that was run independently of what we did a little bit later here, going for a 0 to 30 and a 0 to 60 centimeter depth. These are just point samples, so the nice thing about resistivity, it's going to give you a continuous profile. And what you see here over the 0 to 60 centimeter depth, in fact, the bedded treatments are drier. Well, this is a little bit confounded. Are they drier because you tilled it and so there's more porosity? Are they drier because trees are growing a little bit quicker and they're using the water? It's a little bit difficult to tell. And so I would argue that this is a place, again, where maybe resistivity could be helpful if we could try and estimate the actual volume of soil that the plants are utilizing in some way. So I would just take you back to this diagram of our NT and our CBS plot. And I would ask you to try and walk through this sort of conceptual model here. If this was sort of our soil space, and this was really wet, and as we go from green to yellow to red, we're getting drier and drier, this would be my hypothesis, okay, that as I take resistivity images, the soil is going to dry down. It's going to dry down deeper on the right where I have CBS, and it's going to dry down on the NT. Okay, I didn't really mean to simulate that shank there, but there's our shank right there going to 60 centimeters. And in 2 dimensions, you know, I could try and just put some parabola on there or some arc, and I could make estimates of sort of surface area. And if I wanted to make some additional assumptions, I could probably try and make some volumetric estimates of soil utilization. Okay, so here's my hypothesis. And so let's get real. That's the theme for here. So here's a little example I'd like to show you in a nursery soil. Okay, and here's a tree. This is actually a hybrid poplar. And here, each one of these flags is sort of a grid point, but we're going to take this two-dimensional plane right here. Okay, and so you're going to be standing right here where you are in the audience, and you're going to be looking at this surface, and this tree is going to be on your right, and note that there are really no trees on the left here. We got rid of those. Okay, and we were able to irrigate in the nursery. So we irrigated for 24 hours, and this is really time zero, and we're going to run a simulation for 10 days. There's our tree on the right. We got no trees on the left, so our irrigation was able to get that a little bit wetter. Okay, and now we're going to run a simulation here that runs over 10 days, and there, in my mind, is our tree drawing down soil moisture. Okay, unfortunately, it's really not that nice arc, so it's a little more complex to try and estimate the surface area. But, you know, if you play with GPS, this is GIS systems, this is not difficult to do in two planes. You could just sum up over pixels. This program has pixels in it. And so here we're using about 6 meters across to about a 2 meter depth. So we know the surface area. And basically I can make an estimation that this tree that obviously appears to me to have a couple of large lateral roots going out away from it is using about 4.5 square meters of surface area. Okay, so now we really need to make the leap of faith to a volume. Okay. And so instead of looking at a single plane in the middle there, two-dimensional, we're going to use a grid and we're going to go to a three-dimensional surface. Okay? And so here is our two-dimensional grid. This is actually from the tillage experiment now, but here's a slice. I could take that two-dimensional slice, or I could actually integrate across the volume. And I could now try and estimate a soil volume of utilization. Okay, so this is in fact an NT plot from the tillage study. These dots here are trying to represent where trees are, and again, it's a 2 by 2 by 8 meter across, so we've got a couple of tree rows that we've gone across, and we have a few trees within a row. Okay, you'll note in some cases, you know, they look really well correlated. In other cases, maybe not so closely correlated in terms of where we think the dry down is relative to the soils. But we might put this in motion. So we're going to go from March 2005 at these monthly increments. We're going to go to June. We actually had a big rain that came through, so soils got wetted. By the end of the growing season in November, those dry spots had reformed. And by the next March of 2006, in this particular winter, the soil had re-wet again. So we're basically at a uniform type of soil moisture. We don't see much heterogeneity in the system. Okay, so what are we going to try and do to estimate soil rooting volume? We're just going to utilize sort of dates where we see lots of drawdown. We might infer root drawdown from moisture characteristic curves and resistivity versus these TDR data. And we're going to try and say, well, below a certain point, it's clear that roots are playing a role. So here's just our resistivity moisture regressions. Here's the no-till plots and the CBS plots. Again, remember density, porosity matters. So we have to really develop a different calibration for those soils. And basically what I've said here is, okay, if I get down to about 10% moisture, I've really drawn the soil down. In one case, that's about 1,500 ohm meters. And in the other case, it looks to me like it averages about closer to 2,000 ohm meters. Although those are the same volumetric water contents, it obviously would be nice to do this in terms of potential. Okay, and so here are our block treatments, NT and CBS. And basically we're just trying to do what Eric was talking about. We're trying to integrate, but we're trying to integrate across 3D. We don't really integrate at all. We sum across pixels in our volume. And we make estimates of utilization. I would have you note in this diagram, oddly enough, the NT appears to be drier than the CBS. Okay, and so when I actually made estimates of soil rooting volume in these different treatments, the result was quite counterintuitive. It appeared that the NT trees were drying down a larger soil volume, somewhere between age 2 and 3, than the CBS trees were actually accessing. Okay, why would that be? Well, naturally, I would speculate something about rooting density. It's less dense. They can make greater use of the soil that's available to them. Originally, I thought they would access a greater volume of soil, but maybe they just use what's there a lot better and make it a lot drier. And the other trees are needing to find those macropores and those fissures and end up actually going a little bit deeper. So I would say two- and three-dimensional soil profiling with electrical resistivity can provide really novel views of soil heterogeneities. If you're in the right system, it can be inferred to be soil moisture. 2D resistivity can be used to estimate cross-sectional area of soil utilization by growing plants, which in itself I think is sort of useful. 3D soil resistivity, obviously we can try and infer things about rooting volume, which is really useful if you're trying to think about tree productivity. Trees see a volume more than they see a mass. And that tillage at this site appeared, in fact, to decrease the volume of soil utilized by the growing tree. But again, I might speculate that those trees were using that 2 or 3 square meters with greater intensity than the no-till trees were able to use 4.5 or 5 cubic meters of soil. So that's it. Thank you. If you have any questions, I'm glad to take them.